Let's turn over to the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, and let's read just a little bit in the book of Hebrews. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I want to say again, we appreciate you being here with us. Welcome to Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul. This is the home of the soul. We make it our business to see that it stays like that, to where the soul can find a refuge from the foolishness of the world and the conglomeration of things that are out there to destroy the soul. The 11th chapter, the book of Hebrews, and if I'm a little tired, you bear with me. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sands which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity of return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he were born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. All right. This is a lot of teachings on faith. This goes way back into the Old Testament, teaching us about the power of faith. The one thing that I pointed out to you, a number of things that I want to bring back to your mind or your thoughts, is it said, and these all, speaking of the people of the Old Testament, Abraham and others, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, I remind you that they of the Old Testament was not perfect. They that were under the law could not be made perfect. The Bible emphatically states that they that are under the law, that they could not be made perfect. For the Bible said the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, or those things that was to be the very things that would bring salvation, that the coming thereunto could never be made perfect by the blood of bulls and goats. So it says here, and they obtained a good report through faith, but they did not receive the promise. That's beautiful, isn't it? Though they were great and mighty men, they did not receive the promise. The promise was given unto them as through Isaac. The Bible said Abraham, and as of Isaac, not seeds of many, but as of one, the promised son, pointing to Jesus. It says, and in Isaac shall the seed be called. Not all of Israel, but in Isaac. So then we see that the promise is as of to one. And Christ Jesus in you, the heir to the glory of God, the only heir that makes you heir to the glory of God, for he is your hope of that glory to which he was made heir. Christ in you, the hope of that glory. So then, it is a true fact that they could not be made perfect. They did not receive the promise. But you and I can be made perfect. We have been made perfect, and we are they that did receive the promise. But the Bible said these without us could not be made perfect. So then they that died under the law, they that went to sleep under the law, had to wait. God said to Daniel, seal up the book until the time of the end. And it said, you shall rest in your lot, Daniel, until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and many will be purged, the Bible teaches. And then in the days of John, when John saw the revelation, he said, John, seal not the book, for the time is at hand. And this is what I say to you a lot of times when I speak of the revelation of Jesus Christ, that in the day of the revelation of the Christ, then that is the end of the world. So then we're moving again into this great revelation. Paul, after Calvary, begin to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in this, he was caught up into the third heaven. And the Bible said, saw things that was not permissible for him to speak. And then when John saw the revelation
A door was open in heaven, and a voice had come up hither, and he went up into heaven and saw great and mighty things in heaven. And at this time, now that the revelation is beginning to move again at the end time, that means that many are going to be caught up into heaven and to go to see those heavenly things. Like the vision I saw, reminds you of it so much, where I was caught up into heaven and I saw all these great mighty things in heaven and the great mass of people on the earth, and kept saying, look at these wonderful things that are taking place in heaven. And folks, for numbers of years, I have looked into heaven and seen the mighty, wonderful handiwork of God and the great and mighty things of God that take place in the Spirit continually. Or in heaven, the Bible said, doing always the things that please the Father. Jesus saw those wonderful, wonderful things. So walking with Christ, if we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, because we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, in that we are dead to the flesh and dead to the world by the body of Jesus, and buried in water baptism in the lovely name of the Lord, in that that part of us which is sinful, born of Adam, it's dead and gone. No more trespasses, no more sin, no more uncleanness in His sight, and now we're resurrected in the likeness of Christ and the newness of life. And today it's not I that liveth, Paul said, but Christ that liveth within me. In the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. I am now resurrected from the dead. Christ said, once dead, now I'm alive forevermore. I am now bone of His bone, and I'm flesh of His flesh. So then here we are, living in the wonderful presence of God, in the wonderful age of God, in the wonderful time of God. Because if it's not me living and I'm dead, then it's Him living. And if it's Him living, then no more sin. That makes me perfect. Let's give Him a hand. For the Bible teaches that he that knew no sin became sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that I might be perfected forever. Therefore, God has perfected forever them that are sanctified, that is made perfect forever, and He has sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And therefore, having made us perfect, the Bible said, having predestinated us by His foreknowledge as unto election, that no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, and that we keep ourselves, and the evil one toucheth us not. A church without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. So then we are in the age of perfection, and we are made perfect by the works of Jesus. But they under the law could never be made perfect, because it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could make anybody perfect. But we, being under the new covenant and under the blood of Christ Jesus, then are we made perfect. And today we're without spot, and we're without wrinkle, and we're without blemish. And our faith is not hindered. Our faith should never be into captivity. I come preaching to you the word of faith. For Paul said, we are helpers of your faith. I don't come preaching to you to try to get you to be perfect as to living right, in the sense that your righteousness is of God, is of the works of Christ. Though I do teach you what is right and what is wrong, that you should conform to His way, His word, His thought, and that you should leave off with the world, to come out from the world, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So then we see that we are to move into the things of God. We are to save the body from this underworld generation. We are to conform to the ways of Christ and do all things perfectly before Him, as the Bible said, going on unto perfection. We do that. We must do that. That's the way that God would have it. We must be perfect before Christ. We must walk perfect. We must walk upright. To be therefore perfect, the Bible said, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. So then let us go on unto perfection, not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance of dead works and those things toward God. Someone would say, then, Brother Pike, I must go on, because I must quit this and I must quit this, and I must turn from this and I must turn for that. Turn from that and then go on to be perfect as I perfect my ways before God. That's true. We must go on and try to perfect our ways before God, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. But going on to perfection, that's not what it is. Going on to perfection is going on with God and learning more about God and growing in the grace and knowledge of God, to learn of your perfection in Christ Jesus, to be indoctrinated the more every day in an understanding and an enlightenment enlargement of the mind of God, that you might know more about this perfect Christ, and that you are the Christ in the earth, that you are that Jesus in the earth as a membership of his body, bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh, and as to whatever degree that you've surrendered yourself, that you are that body of Christ, which is perfect. So you're going on to perfection, or going on to learn about perfection, in that what you learn, you know, you believe, and in your believing, God purifies your heart by faith. That is, as the details of his perfection is made known to us, or as the knowledge of perfectness is made known to us, as the security from God as to what works he has wrought in our behalf, or what God has done for us in his lovely Son, then we learn about it and we believe it. And we learn about it and we believe it. And the Bible said inwardly we go on from glory to glory, from understanding to understanding, from perfection to perfection, or we go on from knowledge to knowledge, this wonderful transformating of the mind. For the Bible said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove what is the acceptable things of God. So let us go on to perfection. We are in the age of perfection. Let's give him another hand. We are those that live in the age of perfection. Because he's coming back after church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish, and we have to be perfect. The Bible said Job was a perfect man, only perfect in the eyes of God, in that Job was under the Old Testament, whereas the bull and goat blood could never make him perfect. But he was perfect in that God numbered him with the saints, of seeing him beyond Calvary as to this wonderful age, in that the Bible did not say that they could not be made perfect, but it said they could not be made perfect without us. Job could not be perfect except God see him in us as a type of the Lord Jesus and the suffering. And God saw Job in us. And God saw Abraham with us. And the Bible said, and they without us could not be made perfect. And when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, said, this is the promise. For the Bible said they obtained not the promise, they just walked by faith. For the promise was in Isaac, all nations shall be blessed. And then comes Isaac, even Christ, the seed, and in him all of the world has been blessed. The blood of Jesus was put there as on the atonement, the seat of mercy, that all of the world might feel the love of God and the blessings of God. So all of the sins of the world was taken away. And as I remind you so many times, in the days of Daniel, when the angel spoke, said, Messiah shall come, that is at Calvary, and when Messiah cometh, he shall make an end of sin. And so then he came, and at Calvary he folded up the law of sin and death, folded up and laid it away and made an end of sin, and then perfected forever them that are believing in him. Do you believe in him? Hallelujah. I believe in him tonight. So then God has made us perfect. Hallelujah. And he is going to bring forth those of the Old Testament in the resurrection at the sounding of the last trump, and through that they will stand perfect. In that when Jesus came, Peter said, this is that the prophet Joel spoke of that would come to pass. And here comes perfection, even the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. And down into the heart of the earth, perfection goes. And he preaches to the souls in prison, and he makes them perfect by faith in his righteousness. And out of the grave they come, and some of them walked about the earth. Because perfection means the end of death. Because perfection means the end of sin. And the sting of death is sin. If there's no sin, there's no death. That's why the Bible said, through him we pass from death unto life. And now though we were dead in trespasses and sin, yet now we are alive forevermore. It's not us living, but it's him. Let's give him another hand. Somebody say hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Don't you love him for what he's done for you? Don't you feel clean all over? Makes you feel clean and holy and godly and pure by the love of God in his Son Jesus toward you. And you can just feel the Holy Spirit, because the Bible said there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We can't walk after the flesh because we're not in the flesh. For the Bible said, according to our body of flesh, it is dead by the body of Jesus. And we're dead to the world by the body of Jesus, and the world is dead to us by the body of Jesus. And now then my flesh is gone. He that knew no sin was made my sin, that God might smite that sinful body, buried in a watery grave, and do away with my sins. And as the songwriter said, my sins are gone, they're gone, they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn, there in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. My sins, praise God, my sins are gone. When you say as far removed as darkness is from light, did you know there's no fellowship with darkness and light? For if darkness comes, it proves that light isn't there. And if light comes, it's for sure that darkness won't be around. Isn't that right? You love the Lord? You are children of light, not children of intellectual ignorance, that that day should come upon you unawares. We know that it's nigh even at the door. But as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. For the Bible said they shall not know, they shall not see when good cometh, even their eyes of understanding. Lucifer, the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes of understanding, that they can't see good when it comes. So they're bound in the intellectual chains of darkness, and they are doomed because their soul is in darkness. But being children of light, then we know that sin is gone, and therefore death has passed over us. And through the night, the firstborn has not been smitten because he saw the blood. He said, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And down in Egypt, he saw the blood, and he didn't smite the firstborn. And so then, we are alive because he has not smitten us. He has not smitten us because we have the blood. He's going to change us into the lovely sons of God. Though we're already sons of God, John said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God as to the inner spiritual man? But we're waiting for the change of the body at the Thessalonian change. For the Bible said we don't know what each other looks like, so as to the sonship. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. We have to have the blood of the Lamb. Like I told that rabbi over in Israel a few days ago, I said, Rabbi, how do you get rid of your sins? He said, I pray. I tell the Lord. I tell the Father. He takes them away. I go to God. I said, Rabbi, you know better than that. I said, under your own law, in your own teaching, the Bible said there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. I said, there has to be shedding of blood. I said, you need the blood of the Lamb applied to your soul, and you need to be born again. I said, that's the only way you'll ever get rid of your sins. Hallelujah. And that's the way it is, folks. God loves you and I, and it's by faith that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. The Bible said, and he was not, for God took him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. For it cometh, God must believe that he is, that his belief there is a God. And you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's stand together and give him another hand. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. A little bit late coming. I know you're tired, so I won't hold you long, but I want you to believe in the perfection of the Son of God. Hallelujah, because he's coming, folks. He said, I'm coming, like the song we wrote, I'll be back again. And he's coming. He's on his way. He's coming. And he's coming for you because you are his precious children, without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And he's coming after you, and there ain't going to be nothing that's going to stand between you and him, not even a shadow of a pen. Everything's all taken care of. Everything's already out of the way. And you can kind of just cry out other than your loved ones and people that are lost and say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. All right, let's sing this little chorus together, can we? I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white. Now I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Praise God. Gracie, come up here and play this, can you? She can't play this. All right. I wish she could. I thought she could. All right. You love the Lord? Who plays the organ? We don't have anybody here?
Tommy Carter. That's the first I knew about that. Oh, Sonia. But she plays the organ. She plays the organ. Or the piano. I know she played the piano. I got a feeling this little man plays that organ right here. Is that right, little man? You don't? I believe you can. He plays this too. Well, there you are right there. Come on, son. All right. All right, let's sing that song again, can we? Give him a chance here to hook this thing up here and switch it on. Get it warmed up a little bit. How do you believe that God is good? Can I say this to you right quick while he's hooking up? You know, folks, we get a misconception of God. And we get the idea that we are a rational, wicked people. That's a good thought because a lot of folks are. But it isn't that God is angry with you and I. Why should he be angry with you and I? The Bible said he's angry with the wicked every day. Are you wicked? How could you be wicked and be the body of Jesus? See, he loves you. God has never, there's never been a time when God's ever been upset at you, other than the fact that you won't believe in his mercy. Ever since the fall in the garden, he's been trailing you like a mother and a father trying to find the sheep that was lost, trying to find his little lambs, trying to find his children who have been blinded by the evil one and taken into captivity by Lucifer. He's been trailing you. He's been looking for you with outstretched hands, dripping with blood. Dripping with blood. He's been looking for you. Never has he been upset with you. But the devil puts it in your mind, you know, you've been wicked. You better run. He's going to beat your brains out. And on the run, you go, tired and weary, can't hardly go. And he's pleading, I've already took care of it. I've already washed the spots away. I've already paid the price. I love you. I love you. I love you. He says, a mother may forsake her babe, but I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. For I've engraved you in the palms of my hands with the nails, he could say. I've engraved you in the palms of my hands so that I'll always remember you. So he loves you, and all he's ever done was try to find you and try to help you. And Satan has deceived you and misled you and told you all kind of things. All kind of things. He came, he paid the price, give his own blood so that you would not even have to be punished. He tells you to turn to him, listen to him, to believe in his mercy so he can get to you, so he can help you. Are you listening? You know what I said about the pardon the other night? Pardon is considered not a pardon unless you accept it as a pardon. Though it be given to you. So remember, he's trying to get to you. But if you come to the knowledge of right and wrong, then, and you know better, you know the thing that displeases him and you still do it, that proves that you are a beast, that you are wicked, that you are a cruel one, that you're not sons and daughters of God. You're not children of the living God. So that means your name's not on the roll. It never was. Like Judas chose 12, one was a devil, a predestinated thing. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The Bible said before the children were yet born, none having done good nor evil. He spoke of the one as to love. He spoke of the other, have I hated. So then that righteousness might be of God, and that it might not be to him that willeth or runneth. For the race is not to the strong or the swift, the battle to the strong, it's the Lord's. So then he loves you. He's got outstretched hands. I think it's about time that we turned around and looked in his direction and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I've misunderstood. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Say, I've been ignorant, Lord. I didn't know. I just didn't know.
that this has been, I've been your child all this time, and you've been after me all this time. And I've been afraid because Satan deceived me and turned around and said, oh, I just couldn't do that. I just know that I'm a wretch. I know that I've got to be beaten. I know. No. His blood washed away every stain. And the evil one has never touched you. Predestinated foreknowledge, you're elect according to foreknowledge. And the Bible said no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. It is him that justified. It is God that has perfected and justified and glorified, the Bible said. So in him, you're clean, you're holy because of his caressing love. So the strength of your faith is his caressing and care. So let's believe in him, faith that worketh by love. Let's turn to him and say, Father, I can't do nothing by myself. Jesus said not anything, but through you, I can do all things. Through him that strengthens me, I can do all things. So in Philippians 4:13, we find that he tells us these lovely things that we can stand. We can stand. If we will stand, we can stand. When you've done all to stand, just keep on standing anyway. When the devil says no, don't condemn yourself over that thing which you allow. When you stumble, when you know that you didn't want to do it, you wasn't trying to do it, you didn't go looking for it. With all of your heart, you meant to keep your clothes clean, but you fell in the mud. Just get up, run them through the washing machine, get the mud out, get under the shower, wash the mud off, and go right on being a human being. Hallelujah. Doesn't make you a pig at all, does it? All right. So we love Jesus. We thank God for his wonderful love and because his extended grace is to you and I. All right, let's sing that again, can we? I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'll dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Sing it with me. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Sing it with me. Oh, be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, you're all dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Sing it with me again. The altars are open. Oh, get ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, get ready for the bridegroom to come. Or be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Sing with me. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Or be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Sing it with me. And although many have come, there is still room for one. Oh, there's room at the cross
for you. For at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy. Can you sing with me, folks? For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Let's sing, I love him. I love him. Can you sing? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. All because that he first and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Let's sing this little chorus together.
Give me another key.
Bell come from the east and the west. Sing it with me. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. And how blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face and a glory with his light divine. For we're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Sing it. For they come from the east and the west, and they've come from the lands that's afar, to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and aglow with his light divine. For we're blessed partakers of his grace, as gems in his crown to shine. One more time. They'll come from the east and the west, they'll come from the land that's afar, to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face and aglow with light divine. For we're blessed partakers of God's grace, and we're gems in his crown to shine. When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it.
Can you sing it with me?
After all, this life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, I'm so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it.
Sing it with me.
For after all, life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, I'm so cold, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith.
Can you sing it with me? Can you see over the walls?
For after all, this life fits over, and my burdens are, and I stand upon the mountain, on some hole, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. And Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. And Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For Jesus gave her the water that wasn't from the well. And Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. For she went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't.
Sing it with me.
Jesus gave her that water, and it wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to this water.
Can you sing that with me? Let's give him a wave off.
Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water.
Sing with me again. Give him a wave off the boat.
Jesus gave her the water that wasn't from the well.
Can you wave to Jesus? water, and she went to town. She went away singing. She came back bringing others to the water. One more time. Hallelujah. Jesus gave her water, and it wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went close to town. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water. That was it. Let's give him another hand. Say, I love you, Jesus. I don't want your gold or silver.